Welcome everybody to the Building with Purpose online conference. Today, for this session, my guest is Kathleen Reese-Jubenville. She is a high performance coach, author, and speaker. But more importantly, she gained her credibility because before becoming a business coach, she built her own accounting firm. She sold it, scaled another company's profits to 300%, and then today uses that same proven strategy to help hundreds of small business owners expand their sales, right-size their expenses, and retain their best talent. But she says, Kathleen's primary purpose is to bring light into the life of every person she meets. So welcome, Kathleen, to the conference.
Thank you so much, Justin. I'm so excited to be here and so proud to be a part of this.
Oh, we are thrilled to have you. And I can't wait to dive in, but a one paragraph bio, I don't think does what you do justice. So would you fill in those gaps just a bit more and tell us a bit more about your background?
Thank you so much. So I actually started out about 30 years ago, just landed into an accounts payable job. So I ended up in accounting for 30 years. I have a degree in finance. And after I had my second child, I decided I wanted to get out of corporate America and work from home. So I started a home-based bookkeeping service. I learned QuickBooks, became a QuickBooks Pro advisor, and started working with small business owners. And I ended up having a training studio and setting them up, cleaning them up, doing their financials, working with their CPAs. And I just loved it. I started that, though, before the internet had a lot of opportunity. There wasn't much going on. But about midway through that point, banks started talking about cloud accounting. And I thought, you know what, there's an opportunity in this. So I started researching it and I convinced my clients to go into the cloud with QuickBooks, which was very unusual at the time. And there was a lot of concerns about it, but I researched the safety of it. And as I started moving my clients into the cloud, then I could start working with remote bookkeepers. And I started developing all these systems and processes that automated that, really became a business as opposed just a solopreneur. I became a business. And after several years of doing that, I had the opportunity to sell the business. So I learned how building those systems creates value beyond what I did on an hourly basis. So through that process, I learned, then I started working with one of my clients that was growing, but who had gotten stuck. And I came in as a top executive, his controller, and really helped him grow that business over 300%, increase his locations, move into two states. And through that process, I just learned so much about growing a larger business and really working with lending, bank financing, SBA loans, large groups of employees who worked in the warehouse and drove in trucks in fleets. So really started to deep dive into employee safety, incentive programs, management, driving down workers' comp expenses, dealing with property taxes and income tax audits, things like that, really expanded my knowledge as a top executive as well. Mm-hmm. So I have that background. Then I began, as I started thinking about it, I turned 50 and I was like, oh, okay, well, accounting has been great, but what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And I don't think this is, I think I have more to give. So I started working with a high performance coach through Brendon Burchard, who is like kind of like a Tony Robbins out there. Yeah. And this was 3 years ago now. And that coach helped me write a book. And the book is called Grow a Pair of Antlers, The Fearless Climb to Lead Your Herd. I have a doe edition and a buck edition.
All right.
And it's really about leadership and about the values of leadership. And through that, then I started discovering my voice and appreciating the value that I have to bring to business owners through my accounting and my leadership and my management skills. And so then I took all that information and I became a business coach. And now I'm an accredited small business consultant. And I work with small business owners to help them, like you mentioned in my introduction, help them, increase their sales, right size their expenses, and retain their best talent. and really grow and thrive. Even through this challenging time, there are so many opportunities. So I think everything just came to fruition for me at the right time to help the most people.
Right, right. And I think that's actually a great place to start. So businesses are facing this unprecedented scenario before. So let's just dive on in from your high performance business finance, like that background that you bring. How can people, particularly business owners and leaders, adapt during this time?
Yes, that's a great question. And I think that's what is on most people's minds. And, you know, for me, business ownership has always had two components to it. The opportunity to have a lifestyle that you just desire, that you want. This is why you get started, because you have this dream of, you know, working from the beach, which actually now, you know, we're not on the beach, but we are working remotely. So maybe that part's come true anyway. But, you know, just this American dream type of thing for our own life, our own family. But the other way that I like to think of small business ownership is what you are giving through that, giving to your clients, your customers, the value you're bringing, the way that you bring that value matters. You can be, be helpful and service oriented or not, but most people that I have met, they want to help, and that's why they're doing what they're doing, whatever it is, whether they're making widgets or, you know, a service provider. They have this desire to help, and they're not only helping their customers, but they're also helping their employees and their employees' families. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why I have a soft spot in my heart for contractors, for people with retailers, warehouses, fleets out in the field, because there's so many people that company owner is supporting, and their kids and their families. And there's so much that can be done to support so many people through small business.
In this time of uncertainty, business leaders might have this tendency to want to pull back, right? Now's the time we scale back and we play it safe. But you're really advocating for something completely different, and you want them to lean into that, and you want them to continue to bless other people. What are some ways? I'm a business owner, I've got 2, 3, 4, 5 employees. I'm not sure what's next. I got to pay rent, and the stimulus packages are going on, right? Like, with all of this uncertainty, what's your best advice for that business owner to lean into that and continue to bless their employees and community?
The first most important thing is mindset. And this is where I'm also a certified high performance coach. I was coach, and then I became a high performance coach as well. And I know that's some of what you do as well, in helping people think about their mindset. And that is critical. It's even without COVID-19, even without that, fear and uncertainty, it existed anyway in owning a business. That's just part of being an entrepreneur. And one of the challenges is that we don't have, as business owners, we don't often have people that can help us through the decisions we're making. So, you know, we can talk to our spouses or girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. We can try to talk to our friends. But if they're employees, they can't understand what we're going through. It's just impossible. They try, they want to help, there's no way they can understand. And as the business owner, you know, we can have a management team with us or other staff, but even they can't completely understand how heavy that responsibility weighs on us, and mm-hmm. each decision, and again, how many people it impacts, every decision. So the mindset is important in any scenario for a business owner. And it's really a mindset of facing fears and making decisions courageously. And it revolves around being very intentional about really where is your purpose and what are your goals. Yeah. And so we can just sit back on our heels and, this is happening and that's happening. But, you know, if you have a business strategy, a written comprehensive vision, purpose, plan, a necessity around what you're doing, then all those details can be worked out. And certainly it's the time to work with a coach on our mindset, but also on the business strategies tactically.
Yeah.
But it starts with that mindset of just digging in and moving forward.
Excellent. I'm curious, hearing you expound on this fear concept, have you noticed what are the trends that are emerging from your clients, from your perspectives about like, what are the repeated fears? Because if somebody's watching this, they probably have that sense of fear, right? And so it might be helpful for them to realize, oh good, I'm not alone. Other people are facing this fear. So what are some of those fears you're seeing emerge that we can help these people counter?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it could be a fear of loss, a fear of looking foolish, a fear of learning something new that, you know, we're going to fail at. And the failure is, it wraps into being feeling foolish. So even, you know, with people just learning Zoom, it's you know, there's so much new to absorb and it feels clunky at first. But wrapping around that fear, a couple of tips. One is remember that the failures are lessons. So it's, you're not going to be great at first. You don't know how to ride a bike when you first get on it. You know, you don't know how to walk when you're a baby. It's okay to fall. It matters if you get back up. That's what matters. Yeah. And remember, everybody else is feeling the same way, even if they don't show it. Some people are better at their poker face, but it's still, yeah, we're all afraid all the time. We're all scared. So it's about doing it. That's courage, really, is just getting back up.
Yeah.
The other thing about fear is getting that support. And sometimes you have to support yourself in your mindset of, okay, what have I done in the past where I was successful? So remind yourself, what are the things, how did I handle situations in the past? And you end up with this little framework of success that amazingly you can apply to new situations as well. So it's kind of reinforcing in your own mind, you know, hey, I've been able to succeed in the past. I can succeed again. How can I do that? And that support that I was talking about is sometimes it's somebody from the outside saying, well, remember you did how well you did with that? What are you talking about? You can handle this. You know what I mean? Just encouraging words helps. So look for that too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I remind my clients of when they're facing that barrier, like, oh boy, what's next? And can I handle this? I'm like, you have to realize you actually have 100% track record of making it through everything life has thrown at you. Like the fact that you're alive, yes, and you're breathing and you're owning your business and you're trying to get better means you have survived literally everything life has thrown at you. You should probably believe that you can handle this one as well. No matter how daunting or overwhelming it seems, you probably got this.
Yes, that is so true, Justin. Really good wise advice for the people you talk to. You know, I also, one of the things that I notice is when we get afraid, our mind closes to possibilities. So we tend to anticipate the failure instead of looking for the possible positive outcomes. So when I hear a client saying, well, you know, I tried that marketing campaign before and it didn't work, or I've seen other people do that and it just, you know, then I'm like, okay, yes, maybe in the past, but this is now, this is you, you know more, this is not, you're not that person, this is not right, the same circumstance. So I'd like you to come up with three things that you could do right now towards that goal, or, yeah, you know, just three crazy, it doesn't matter if they're feasible, don't, just what are three ideas. And it's amazing how usually their first one, oftentimes their first one, you know, they'll be like, oh, I don't have any ideas. No, you do. I know you do. And then, yeah, they're like, oh, okay, that's a great idea. Why, you know, I just, it was just blocked. They wouldn't even allow themselves
right,
to consider it.
Right. No, that's, that's great. And has been very true in my experience. We allow, when we think of fear, like we automatically jump to the worst possible conclusion, right? Like, I have to make this sales phone call today. I bet they say no and the house burns down. Like, well, where did that come, right? Like fear is never based in rationality, has been, has at least been my experience with fear.
It's so true. I had, I am still being coached. I believe in coaching 100%. I have high performance coach and I have business coaches. And my business coach recently challenged me to make 125 cold calls. Now that's not a you know, necessarily a recommendation for how you get business. Sometimes right. it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's more about overcoming fear and taking action. And so I actually set up there was a worksheet that had, you know, I check off every call I make, and then they suggested and I volunteered to put my money where my mouth was. So I put a price tag of $1 on every call. And if I didn't get 125 calls made in a week, I had to pay my coach. I authorized my coach to charge $125 on my card, which he would donate to a charity. So you better believe. And that first week it took me 2 weeks to do it, because that first week I crashed and burned. I got like 10 calls into it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I can't, so I like immediately got, I need an emergency call to my coach. And I started doing research on how to make sales calls. And he talked me through it. And then I revisited my script. And then by that next week, I had my 125 calls done. But boy, did I have to confront that fear and spend about 24 hours going, oh, I'm just, oh, and then come right back to it.
I think so. So that to me seems like a place where a lot of people would be, right? We have been taught and conditioned, especially during this time. I think we are trying to be convinced that our operative mindset should be one of fear. Right. During this time, I need to be afraid of getting too close to people and of touching stuff and of stores running out of toilet paper and like whatever else I need to be afraid of. So you have pushed through that fear very recently. Walk us through what that's like and give us some strategies to do it when I'm sitting at home and it's another day where I'm working from home and I don't want to. How do I push through that fear? Give us some tips there.
Yes. And you know, before I do that, I want to mention too that the first 50 calls were extremely painful.
Okay.
But then as my deadline was approaching, I got really fast, and people, because I got better and better, people started talking to me. So it actually took me longer to get through the last 25 to 30 calls because I was more comfortable. I had learned a skill. Yeah. And so just an FYI on that, but to push through the fear, for me, it's been about that positive reinforcement, that positive mindset of remembering what have I done well in the past and how did I do that. It's been working with coaches who could help me reset my mindset and help me talk through it. And it's also been about education for me. So if I want to do something and I feel unprepared for it, I deep dive into podcasts, YouTube videos, books. I'm a voracious reader. So education for me is huge. There's so much. And that's the thing too right now, Justin, is there's so much opportunity to learn. Oh my gosh. Yes. So many, like what you're putting together, this online course and what so many other people offer, courses and the just free videos. There's so much to offer, to learn. There's just really, honestly, no excuse anymore not leveling up on education.
Right. So for the average, for your client, right? Think of your ideal client. They're sitting at home facing this fear, agreeing with you. Yes, I need to work through it. What are the skills and the necessary requirements for them to be leveling up during this time? Like, how can they emerge from the end of quarantine and say, this was the number one way I should have invested my time, and I'm so thankful I did it? What's that skill you're seeing emerge for them?
Yes. So this is where I really do recommend them working with a business coach. And, you know, it needs to be a personality thing. So there's lots of business coaches out there. Of course, I think I'm great and, you know, have my background that I bring, but it should be a personality thing in part. It also needs to be a skill set thing. So there's some coaches that have come from a sales background for business, which is great. But my accounting background allows me to be uniquely qualified to help businesses through this especially tough time. And I work with them on sales too. I have a lot of background on that, but I have intensely in finance and accounting. So the reason I say that to work with a business coach right now is because there are proven successful business strategies that can be and should be applied no matter what the economy is, no matter what's going on, whether we're in person or online. You can, any business owner can apply these specific strategies to the way they run their business that will allow them to grow. And I call them 21 silver bullets, and they're actually in the areas of time, team, and money. And so we'll talk. I offer a 15 to 30 minute complimentary call to talk and determine which of the silver bullets would move the needle first and fastest for the business owner. Because right now we want to grow our sales and cut expenses and retain our best talent. Those are the three most important things. And to grow sales, we need to think creatively. To cut expenses, we need to really look closely. We need to have a good set of financials. One client I just was working with didn't have a good set of financials. I saw it in 3 minutes. A different business coach might not have seen that. And if we're not working from a set of numbers, then they shouldn't be paying me. We need to say, here's where you're at. This is where we're going to go. And where you're going not only pays for my fees, but gives you more profit right now and sets you up for even greater success in the future. So I call it a find my fee model, because you know, there's no point in working with me if you're not going to make more money,
right,
take home more, and have more time for your family and your lifestyle. That's the whole point of it. So right. That's what we focus on. A lot of key performance indicators, KPIs, very numbers and data driven.
Okay, excellent. And that, it sounds like then it takes a very customized approach for each of your clients, that you've got these 21 silver bullets. You might see one or two from this client and a different set from another client. And so you're very hands-on in the life of your client. And so what that brings up for me that I think our audience would be interested in is how have you had to pivot that strategy during this time? Like, is a lot of your work, was it hands-on? Sounds like you moved to the cloud early, so maybe you're a bit more of that innovative forward thinker, but undoubtedly your time has had to shift and change. So what does that look like for you? How are you maximizing your time in the work you're doing?
Yeah, you know, actually I've been very tech forward my whole life. And so I've always loved systems. Systems is like my crazy weird hobby. So that's, and systems are the backbone of a business, and systems can include a written checklist, you know, a document that every time you have a new hire, you've got a checklist, how to set up their HR file, or it can involve online software. And I love playing with online software. They almost always offer 7 days trial, whatever. And so I play around. I've been very tech forward for a long time. So this thing hasn't changed my business at all, except for that I think businesses need business coaching more than ever.
Right.
As far as hands-on, I'd like to just share the difference between a coach and a consultant. So I used to be a consultant when I did accounting. I actually did work for my clients and produced something for them. Mm-hmm. As a coach, my primary roles include helping the business owner be aware of the possibilities, which is the mindset thing, and brainstorming and strategizing, helping teach them best business strategies. So this is where I'm applying the silver bullets, talking about what I know from my book learning and my business experience and my education, and then holding them accountable. So we do weekly calls, a half hour, or an hour and a half, depending on what plan a client has signed up for. But it's a weekly call, and we go over a sheet that has the goals, the KPIs, the things that we're trying to move forward to see how we can get there every week. So the business owner is actually doing the work, or they're engaging their team to do the work, or they're outsourcing the work. But that's part of our discussion too, is how you're going to get this done. So when you engage with me, there's a financial commitment, but there's also a time commitment. Yeah. And a commitment to do the work and get it done. And, you know, the other thing I just want to mention here, Justin, is that amazingly, it doesn't take much of a shift in various areas of a business to make a huge difference. So you could just make a 10% shift in the number of leads you're generating, a 10% shift in the conversion rate, a 10% shift in reducing expenses or making sure you got the right people in the right place or building efficiencies through systems. Those 10% shifts in just a few places can grow income and profit by, you know, hundreds of percentage points. So, you know, we always think it takes so much, you know, we have to make so much change to really feel the impact. That's not true at all. Small changes, like a, you know, like a boat, small changes eventually get you in a whole new direction.
Right. Right. So
that's the way I handle that with my clients.
That's great. For the business owner who's sitting at home and saying, I need to make those small changes. I've got more time on my hands. I'm not sure what to do with my employees. I'm trying to navigate this with as much charity and beneficiality as possible. Where would you suggest they start to look at those small changes? They're sitting at home right now. They're watching this. Maybe they're pulling up their books or, you know, reviewing their business plan for 2020. Where do you suggest that they start in seeing some of those 10% changes start to add up?
It's very individualized for the business owner, but you know, you certainly want to look at how you get your leads is one place. Maybe if you were, I'm seeing different marketing result different ways now. So people who were saying, oh yeah, I was doing all these LinkedIn connections and now it's gone dead. So shifting a marketing strategy, being very intentional about how you're doing that and test and then shift again. Shifting how you're serving your clients, that's probably the biggest shift that most business owners are having to make right now. You know, you're hearing about online weddings now and online funerals and, you know, real estate agents having virtual tours and so many things have shifted to online. So it's really looking about how you serve your clients differently. So it's very different. I have another business owner, a business client who is, he can't scale because he's doing so much. He has a small team, but he's just having a hard time giving up some of the tasks he does. So we were, and he's like, I don't want to do Word documents and training manuals and all that. So he came up with the idea. We were brainstorming. He came up with the idea of doing video trainings. So as he's doing the work, he's videotaping himself doing it. And that's the way his team is learning. And then they can create the documentation, ask questions, they can tweak it. But just to get it done, because he can't scale his business, he can't grow it, there's no way. And so he's like, well, you know, I need to grow a little bit by summer because I got some family stuff going on. I said, yes, that's true. You want to be in a different place by summer, but I don't want you to just think about how you're going to handle this summer. I want you to think about when you have 300% more customers, you know, how are you going to handle this? You can't take on 50 more customers, 100 more customers, unless you do this. So I'm helping them think, you know, and I would encourage business owners right now to think bigger picture, longer term. What you're putting in place now sets you up for your bigger success. Think big and make small changes.
Yeah. Fantastic. So because fear can show up in any place, right? Like, yes. I hear what you're saying and I love it. And I resonate deeply with that. For the business owner that hears think big, fear is going to start to creep in, right? They're going to start to doubt that they can reach it. So how can we come alongside them and say, think big dreams, and how do we keep fear at bay in those moments? Because there's the fear now of just uncertainty, but there's the fear of a 3-year plan. I'm working with one client now who's like, I've never done anything beyond two weeks. I'm like, well, that's your problem.
So true. So I think you've hit it on the head, is most people aren't thinking longer term, and it does because it's overwhelming. And what I do with my clients in their first couple of months, but I start right away, is we don't just start with business coaching, which will help them make immediate changes. We layer on strategic planning. So we're looking at the SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, which will drive what are some of the key things we need to do long-term. And then we look out 3 to 5 years and we break that down. Okay, what do we want to shoot for a year? And then we break down to what are our quarterly milestones. And then we break down to, okay, what are you going to do this week?
Right.
And so, you know, you can have that long-term vision, but if you don't have it clearly identified, clearly written down, that's when it gets overwhelming. It's this amorphous, you know, like, oh, I want to write a book. And I didn't do it. Why? Because I didn't even know where to start. So I just said, okay, what do I need to do to get this done? I need to just write every day. And I didn't even say I'm going to write 100 words or 1,000 words. I just said, I'm going to write one sentence every day. That's all my goal was, one sentence every day. And then I'm going to email my coach that I wrote my sentence. And so I had that accountability. And then once it made me think about it every day. So I didn't forget about it in the busyness of life. And once I wrote one sentence, usually I could just keep going. It got me on a roll. It got past that block. So you take these huge dreams and you just little tiny atomic habits, like James Clear would say.
Yeah. What, one sentence at a time.
Yes. Exactly.
That's phenomenal stuff. In this time, so I'm curious, let me shift just a little bit. We've got a couple of minutes left of time for a few questions. It sounds like a lot of what you're offering and what you're prescribing for your clients are tried and true methods that are they work now, they'll work 6 months into the future, and they'll work a year from now. But in the midst of what we're facing, let's go back to the immediacy here. What do you think are some of the temporary changes that are going on in the business world? And what do you think will end up being more permanent, and how can that be a benefit?
Yes. So temporary is certainly, we can't do the in-person stuff, but I'd like to really speak more about the long-term benefits of this. I think that there was a lot of resistance from companies that had been around a long time and had done things the same way for a long time. And the idea of having to shift a workforce and move them online, I think that that's very beneficial. We can see for any kind of, let's say, an emergency management even, you know, now it's like, oh, okay, we know how to set up and we can handle that because, you know, whether it's an earthquake or whatever, I live in California, so that's top of my mind. you know, and so just the preparation for being able to be more fluid, I also see the benefit of, I loved working from home, and that was the reason why I started my business in the first place. Yeah. And I hear my kids are 25 and 17 right now. And, you know, my 17-year-old's not really talking about family yet, but my 25-year-old is starting to think about that. And I could see how that generation could really benefit by a more flexible work schedule, fluid work schedule. It worked very well. My husband and I both worked at home while we were raising our kids, and we loved that. So I hope that out of this, the benefit is a more fluid work environment for everybody that benefits the work, the business owners, and the employees.
Yeah, excellent. Second to last question, and this is what I've asked everybody because I think it's such an important question. What has this experience and this time made possible for the average business owner, right? If let's go back to that mindset. If my mindset determines my outcome, then this has at least the potential to be an opportunity, a blessing to me. So what have you seen in your experience that this has actually made possible that wasn't possible before?
Yes, I think it's really driven home the ideas of efficiencies. You know, one of the efficiencies is I'm not driving around to networking meetings. Okay, there's drawbacks to that, but I'm saving a lot of time, you know? I think people are starting to, the opportunities are to put into place additional efficiencies around the idea of growing the business, but also around the idea of being more flexible and open-minded about the ways to achieve that and not be so stuck in how we've always done things.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Take on it. Yep. That flexibility. Sure.
Fantastic. Last question then. Somebody wants to follow up. They know that they need some help. They're looking to break out of that rut. How can we get in touch with you?
Yes. Thank you. So thefearlessclimb.com. Thefearlessclimb.com is my website. You can do a couple things there. One is you can download the PDF version of my book, Grow a Pair of Antlers, The Fearless Climb to Lead Your Herd. You can also sign up for a complimentary 15 to 30 minute business breakthrough call. And this is where we'll talk about what you've succeeded at in your business, because we need to celebrate that and build off of those successes. And talk about what's keeping you up at night. What are some of the decisions you're struggling with right now, concerns you have, and fears you want to address? And we'll start shooting some silver bullets and then determine if this is something you want to do ongoing. If not, we'll part as friends. But that's the opportunity to get some value from me and some wisdom and experience and advice right now that, for free.
Yeah. Excellent. So I'm curious, I've already said last question, but I'm moderating, so I'm going to throw in one more. Because one of the things that you said is celebrating wins. And yes. I have to be honest, the number one piece of feedback that I get from my clients is, Justin, I hate that you talk about celebrating wins so much. It gets exhausting. Like they literally love everything that we do together, except when I say, you did your goal, how are you going to celebrate? They hate that question. So what are your tips and strategies? And the reason, give us the psychology why, number one, we need to celebrate wins. And then how do you work your clients through that?
Yes. Awesome. So I also had problems with that for sure. And because I'm so, this high performance, you see the Brendan Burchard's book back here, High Performance Habits. This is what I'm certified in. And as high performers, we're just driven to go, go, go. No, that's why there's so many people right now talking about self-care and whatever, because we just don't give ourselves a break.
Yeah.
But, if we can reward ourselves by popping another Hershey's Kiss, which I do from time to time, but that's not the healthiest way to do this, right? We want to reward our mind and build in those reminders that it feels good, get that adrenaline and the all that good stuff, feelings, all those good feelings around are about overcoming fear and being courageous. If we can connect those positive feelings, wire our brain to feel good about confronting fear, it just gets easier. I call it a cycle of success. It just gets so much easier to face the next scary thing and do the next courageous decision and action.
That's amazing. Really good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us your website and any contact information that they can use to get in touch with you.
Yeah, thefearlessclimb.com is the best way to connect with me.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kathleen. It's been a real pleasure.